I pray that you just bless her, that you talk through her, that you fill her with the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, and just give her the strength in order to do this in your strength, Lord Jesus. That's why she is here, not in her own. And I just thank you for that. I thank you for your grace and your love on her life. And I pray that the words that come out of her are of you. And I pray that those words are remembered and resonate in people's hearts this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Brilliant. Oh, so this morning I stayed at home to practice and practice and practice because I didn't feel as prepared for this one for some reason. I felt really nervous walking in this morning. Lydia greeted me, gave me some prayer, and then during the amazing worship I thought, you know what, I'm just going to enjoy this because I'm choosing to do this. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Yes, fantastic. And then I started crying in worship. And then thought, how can I actually stand up the front and do this and enjoy it? I'm back in the enjoyment stage now. Yay. Woohoo! Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So please bear with me. I just take that as this is an important preach. I've obviously gone through the emotions today because someone, aka beginning with a D, the devil, does not want me to share this with you today. So that's what I'm taking from this. When looking back at worship, I was just looking around at all of you beautiful people. I'm not a stalker, I promise. I was looking around, and have you ever done that? Have you ever just looked around the church? Seen all of God's broken people? Because I know lots of things that have happened in lots of your lives that are heartbreaking. And yet you're there praising Jesus, praising God. This has nothing whatsoever to do with my talk. I just wanted to point that out and say how amazing you all are, how much God loves you, how he's chosen you today, and how he is using you. Because I've gone through hard stuff and I crumbled, and you were there standing strong in Jesus. And that's just amazing. So today, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. I've titled it, One God, Many Gifts, because he has many, many gifts for each and every one of us this morning. And we're firstly going to talk about the Holy Spirit. These verses scream the Holy Spirit. We're then going to talk about what it means for us in terms of our giftings. So what giftings have we been given from the Holy Spirit? And then we're going to bring it all back to the big G, God. Can I have the next slide, please? So, verses. I'm just going to read them to you. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brother and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Can we click again, please? Thank you. So I want to start by breaking it up into two sections. So we're going to look at the beginning, verses 1 to 6. Now Paul addresses the Corinthians and he says in verses 1 to 3, you know what, you were Gentiles, you didn't believe in Jesus. You got carried away and you went to these idols instead of me. And he calls them and says that you were led to them, and they are mute idols. Now, Now, what does mute mean? It means no voice, no power. So you are worshipping and being in relationship with these powerless idols. So he kind of points them out and says, that's what you were doing. And then in verse 3, he says, there's no power in those idols, but there's power through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You can't have a relationship with Jesus without having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You can't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit without having a relationship with Jesus. They're linked. They're the connector, the bridge. They're one in the same. So I wanted to have a little bit of a discussion. So this is your part now. I would like you, if you feel comfortable, to have a little chat on your tables. How have you felt the Holy Spirit in your lives? So have a little discussion, and then I'm going to ask some brave people to share it with everyone. Okay, how have you felt the Holy Spirit in your life? Off you go, go. This is when you talk. Okay, talking is allowed. Don't want to stop it. We could just do this for the whole of Sunday. So maybe draw your conversations to a close. That would be fantastic. What a blessing then that we had lots of ways to describe the Holy Spirit, that there were lots of different ways we felt the Holy Spirit. Is anyone feeling brave enough to share with everyone? Anyone like to share? Like teacher, you're my student. So that's maybe in the spirit. You know, spirit, raise your hand. Perfect. So actually having a physical reaction to the spirit, maybe bowing down. Some people, I've seen it here at Junction before, when I've been praying over someone in prayer ministry, people physically move in the spirit. They physically, sometimes they fall over in the spirit. So a physical reaction. Any other reactions? Scott? Oh, I don't know if I want you to hold the microphone. Don't sing.
I won't sing. Why am I here? Why am I here? Well...
Spirit.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to share it with you because you're my family. And I feel like I've got to get it off my chest. So some of you know, a couple of weeks ago, my granddad passed away. And that was tough. And before that, the day before my mum's wedding, I found out the worst news I've ever heard in my life. And that night, when I found out, we was in Brighton, and I went out the door, well, ready to go out the door before Lydia pulled me back, ready just to find somebody and just do something nasty. Like, the old me peeped its head out for 1 minute, and just because I didn't know how to deal with it. And not instantly, well, Lydia pulled me back instantly, but the Holy Spirit kind of talked me through that, and the person that I found out this news about was there, and the Holy Spirit in them, I was like crying, like, I need to help you. And they sit there and like, no, God's helped me, I'm going to pray for you. And that person prayed for me. And I've been struggling with it and still struggling with it. But the Holy Spirit has reminded me, yes, Scott, you're struggling. Yes, Scott, you can't do this by yourself. But my Holy Spirit in you, you're still going to be able to go to church. You're still going to be able to worship. You're still going to be able to preach. You're still going to be able to do these things by my strength. But not my strength, by God's strength. Saying that in me, you can do it. And that's the Holy Spirit evident. Sometimes you've got to allow that to happen. And I fought that for the first kind of few hours of finding out this news. And then was like, well, by myself, I'm going to go down a destructive path. But the Holy Spirit got hold of me and was like, come on, mate, let's just crack it out together. Let's get through it. So, yeah, it was good.
Okay, I allow you to have the microphone. That was worth it. So the Spirit then... Okay. The Spirit is our strength. Marie! Yeah? Do you want to have... No. Literally, this is my preach now.
I'm coming anyway.
Do it.
Okay. So, over the last few weeks, I've been really feeling that God has been asking me to go out and teach people about God and just talk to them about God, really, and like try and bring them to faith. And I was saying to Craig that I would, but I don't know where to start, for one. I don't have the words, I just don't know how to do it. And last night I saw on social media that my little 15-year-old nephew, he was having some troubles. So I called him up, and we were just talking about stuff in general, and then it just led on to the path of, like, we were talking about God, and we were talking about praying, and, yeah, I just opened my mouth, and things just flew out of my mouth, and it was obviously from God, because I didn't know where to start, but I just let him come through me, use me as a vessel, and, yeah, I'm just really, like, glad that I could get through to somebody through God.
Amazing. So the Holy Spirit is our strength. Sometimes we get a physical reaction. He's also our wisdom. Yeah? When I know I've done a good preach or a good prayer, is when people come up to me and they go, when you said that, that really touched me. And I go, did I say that? Oops. Honestly, I often forget, and I don't remember saying any of that, or what did I pray about? It felt good. What did I preach about? It's because the Spirit was speaking, not me. The Spirit was speaking, not me. Can we go to the next slide, please? Okay, so the Holy Spirit is talked about in so many verses in the Bible. It pops up a lot in Acts, okay? So this one is from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So talking to the disciples, I give you this power so that you can, like Marie was doing with her nephew, is that right? Yeah? You can share my word, my truth with every single person. So the Holy Spirit equals power and relationship with God. You You might feel the Holy Spirit in a really powerful way, a physical way. I used to, maybe I'll get it back one day, but when I would be worshipping or praying, I used to put my hands out and I'd feel a burning sensation, not a negative burning sensation, quite a nice burning sensation if you can get one of those. And I would feel like that was God there, that was the Spirit with me. When I was praying over someone, my hands would kind of burn and I'd feel like the Spirit was kind of going into them kind of thing. That was my, wow, God is here kind of thing. Next slide for me. Verse in Matthew then, Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 to 33 says, "And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." You know, these verses highlight the importance of the Holy Spirit. They're not saying that the Holy Spirit is more important than God. No. Remember the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are linked. They're together. But it emphasizes how important the Holy Spirit is. The fact that you cannot have the one without the other. You can't have the Holy Spirit and know the Holy Spirit and not know Jesus. It doesn't work. Jesus came, he opened up that bridge between God and him. But the Holy Spirit is something that's always been. So in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, it describes a spirit, a ghost, hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God there at the very beginning of time. The Spirit of God is here today. Each of us, when we say we believe in Jesus, has a little piece of the Holy Spirit in us. And that never leaves us, as long as we say, "I believe in the big G." That should be like a motto. I'm going to get merchandise and everything. "I believe in the big G." Hats, t-shirts. Now, that means that if you're sitting here today going, "But I never felt like a burning sensation in my hands. I've never bowed down in worship. I've never had the courage to dance in the Spirit. I wish I could do that." Maybe I don't have the Holy Spirit in me then. That's not true. The Holy Spirit, as soon as you say yes to Jesus, is there. It's like a thing that you can't remove. Now, I've done a lot of hiding from Jesus in my time. Maybe even this morning, hiding from Jesus. But I can't get that Holy Spirit out of me. It's stuck. I can try, but it will not go. Because I said, "I believe in the big G." Oh my goodness, becoming a thing. Next slide, please. Right, again, more from Acts. So the first one, when they finished praying, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to proclaim God's message with boldness. So that, again, is a powerful reaction. You know, Pentecost with the fire falling on them, a powerful reaction. Let's proclaim God's message in boldness through the Spirit. Like Scott was saying, not through my strength, through the Holy Spirit's strength. Because we can be weak a lot of times, like I was this morning, like I've been in times, like you've been in times in your lives. We can be so weak and somehow still get out of bed in the morning and wonder, how did that happen? Second verse, Peter said to them, "Each one of you must turn away from your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven and you will receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit." That little piece that you can't get out of you, that little piece of Jesus, that little piece of Holy Spirit, is God's gift to each and every one of you. Now, Phil was talking about baptism last Sunday, and what is said over you when you get baptized? Has anyone been baptized? What's said over you? Father. And the Holy Spirit. Yeah, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. Yeah? As soon as you say you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is there. He's with you, and he never leaves you. Pieces, I'm going to repeat it again so it gets in your brain, pieces of little Jesus, pieces of that Holy Spirit are with you today. In worship, sometimes they take over you, they can rise up, the Spirit within you, and you might share some of those giftings. You might be speaking in tongues. You might be dancing. You might be getting a burning sensation. You might be bowing. It might uplift you. You might think, actually, at the end of worship, I really need to share this with people because this is a prophecy for someone. Again, from the Spirit. Now in John chapter 14 to 26, it says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you." He's your helper. He's your friend. I never really thought about the Holy Spirit before. I used to think, well, there's Jesus, and I love to pray Jesus. If you ever heard me pray, it will be like every sentence I go, Jesus, and then I want to thank you this person, Jesus, and I can't stop it. It just goes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's my Jesus prayers. And so I don't really, I pray to God, but Jesus is like my center. Oh, that links to worship. Jesus, oh, Jesus is my center. I pray to him. And I've never really thought about the Holy Spirit as like a person to communicate with. But then I got this devotional book and it's Time with the Holy Spirit. So you can actually get books dedicated, you probably know this, I don't know, I didn't, to get you closer to the Spirit, to communicate and build that part of Jesus in you, which is something I'd recommend. Because that piece that's always with you, that's your like telephone line to God. It's how you communicate with him. He tells you things. He's your helper, your friend, your Jesus wisdom. He's the way that we connect with that big G. Let me turn the page. Ooh. Okay, can I have the next slide, please? So now we're going to look at the second half of these verses, where it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to read it all out again, or we'll summarise, but some of the gifts. Faith you get given by the Holy Spirit. Healing. Miraculous powers. Prophecy. Speaking in tongues. Managing to interpret those tongues. It hasn't happened here today, or I don't think ever since I've been at this church, there's still time, but when someone might come up and speak in tongues, if you don't know what tongues is, it's like the Spirit speaking, so it doesn't really sound like a proper language. But I've been at churches where people have come up during prayer, they've spoken in tongues, not knowing what it means, just literally sounds like rubbish, and then, it does though, if you ever heard it, and then seconds later, someone comes up and goes, "This is what that meant." How do you know? Spooky. But it's the Spirit. That's their gifting. You have the giftings of saying the tongues. Someone has the gifting of explaining what that tongue meant. And maybe, I pray that one day that will happen here. But that's the Spirit again working in that gifting that you have. Faith is a wondrous gifting. Having the faith that things are going to be okay, that he has, you know, in Jeremiah 29, that he has amazing plans that will prosper you. That's faith. Faith that can move mountains. So the Spirit works in different ways. And I'm going to talk about how, even if you don't know what your gifting is, you have one from Jesus. All of us here today should hopefully have the faith gifting or be growing that gifting. But we all have been given a gift. And it says it in the last verse. And this is the bit, the four words that jumped out to me. And I was just going over this morning over and over again, which I might add to my merchandise thing. Just as he determines. So whatever gifting or giftings you have, they are just as he determined for you at the beginning of time. So when you ask yourself, oh, that person has gone through something horrible and they're praising Jesus in worship, how? I want to be like them. Or they've gone through something horrible and terrible. I've gone through something that's not as bad, but I'm crying about it. Why? Well, because your problems are just as valid. Wow, that person can speak in tongues. I wish I could do that. What on earth is tongues? I wish I could pray out loud, but I can't. Why is that not my gifting, Jesus? Do you not love me as much as you love that person? You're not working as much in me as you are in that person? I wish I could hear prophecy. I wish I could stop comparing myself to other people. And yet, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, it says, just as he determines, he's given you your special gifting. He's given you the faith, the hospitality, the power of dance, the power of wisdom. Sometimes he surprises you with a gift and, wow, didn't know I could do that. But we put ourselves down all the time. We say, that person's amazing, but I can't do that, so I'm rubbish. Take away the four words, just as he determined. I'm now going to share with you what I did yesterday. Trust me, it has a point, so bear with me. Let me give you some context. I went to university. Before I left university, had the big room in the house as my bedroom. It was lovely. I had space to move. It was great. Then, when I went to uni, it was decided that my brother should have the big room and I should have the little box room where you can barely move. So we did that. We did the switch in my second year. And then I'm now back at home with my uni stuff and my big bedroom stuff in the tiny box room. It doesn't fit. It really stresses me out because now I'm a teacher and I have all my marking and stuff in the tiny box room with my uni stuff, with my big bedroom stuff. And it's been like that for like 3 years. Every time my friends will know this, I go, I'm going to tidy my room this weekend. And yeah, that's the reaction, Lydia. No, you're not. It's been like that for 3 years. And I realise it's because I have too much stuff, okay? And as a teacher, not very much time to try and tidy it. So I thought, Saturday's the day. I'm actually going to do this. My friends didn't believe me, but I am going to do this. And on Netflix, if you have Netflix, there's this new programme that everyone's raving about called Tidying Up, The Way to Find Joy. I went in really, really optimistic about this. And this woman, actually would recommend watching it. This woman goes in to these people's houses and they are hoarders. They have families and the mess is stressing them out. She goes in and she thanks the house. Not really sure about that. But she thanks the house, she goes round, and she tells them 5 steps to finding joy by tidying. Maybe tell your kids this. 5 steps. Because she gets her kids involved. She does. They fold. And they get scolded if they don't fold it right. It's quite good to watch. Anyway, the first step is clothes. Now, I don't like to throw things away. I also love shopping. And now I have a salary and I live at home with my parents still. So, I buy a lot of clothes. I tend to wear the same clothes. You'll see me in like 3 different jumpers. But I have so many. So, yeah. The first step is to get all of your clothes that you own and put them in a massive pile on your bed. Now, I'm really embarrassed about what I'm about to show you. But this is my pile of clothes. Click. I know, it's a sickness. Okay. Obviously, they're also... don't worry, it's done. Yes, I did it on Saturday because the pile was on my bed. I sent this picture to Lydia and she went, Elaine, you have to go to bed tonight. So you've got to do this today. Oh, man. So I did some of it, went downstairs, wrote a bit of my preach. I think that's why it's connected. I think it's Jesus speaking to me through my clothes. Anyway, she tells you to pick up each piece of clothing and stop laughing. It works. And see, does this make me feel joy? Does it make me feel joy? And if it does, it gets to stay. And she shows you this way of folding. You fold it in like 3 ways and it stands up. So the idea is that that's not important. You fold it in a special way. Watch the Netflix series. And if it doesn't bring you joy, you get rid of it. Does it bring you joy? If not, you get rid of it. So I should have put the after picture up because it looks so good now. And it makes me feel actually a lot of joy afterwards because I'm not worried about the mess that was in my room. That's just stage one though. I had to do that with all of my items. Do they bring me joy? Does pencil case bring me joy? No, get rid of it. And then it made me think about Jesus. See, it does link. I thought, you know, is this how God views us? Trust me, bear with. I hope it's not just because I was doing this today. Does he view us in this way? I think when we're talking about our giftings, if we don't have any, or my friends are better than their giftings are amazing and mine just aren't as good. You know, life is hard. Sometimes it could be that mess there. And is that what God sees, that ridiculous mess? It's not what he intended. And then it made me think, have we ever thought, because I think I have thought this, imagine God, please bear with me, God holding you as one of those piles. Okay, this is all of us here. He holds one of you. Does he hold you and go, do I feel joy? Does he discard you? Or does he feel joy? Yes. It links. And it made me think, there are so many times in my life where I feel like this is my life, it's chaos. Every item of clothing could be something I've done wrong, or every item of clothing is a trouble that I face, and it's hit me, and it's hit me, and it's hit me. And I think, I haven't reacted in the right way. So when Jesus held me to see if he felt joy, he would get rid of me because I don't feel joy looking at myself right now. Why would he feel joy at this moment? And then it made me think, no, God would have to buy a bigger house, a bigger room, because he would keep every single item, every single one of you. Even when you don't feel joy looking at yourself, he feels so much joy. Because it's just as he determines. He looks at you and he goes, okay, yes, Elaine, you mucked that up. Elaine, I told you to go speak to that person and you didn't. Or, Elaine, why are you crying about preaching? You've done it a million times and it's going to be amazing. And yet you don't feel joy. God goes, you know what the truth is? I made you. I chose to do that. I chose to make Lydia, Scott, Craig. I chose that. Every single person in this room. If you were not meant to be on this earth, it would not have happened. And I went, oh, I never thought of it like that. If he did not feel joy about you, you wouldn't be here. Not in this building, on this planet, in this earth. You would not be here. He wouldn't have even had you on the pile. He wouldn't. There is no question that when he looks at you, every single second of every single day, he feels instant joy. And I think it's something we easily forget. I forget it all the time. I put myself down. I can't dance in the spirit. I can't pray like I used to. I don't get a burning sensation anymore. I don't feel joy when I look at myself. Oh my goodness, but Jesus does, and God does. I help you get back there. Because he made you. He gave you those giftings just as he determined. So if you click it, ta-da! Just as he determines. Whatever gifting you have, however you feel the Holy Spirit, that is how he intended it to be. So stop putting yourself down. Which is completely hypocritical because I do it all the time. But that means this preaches for me too. Yeah? He sees instant joy when he picks up that item, when he picks up you. He will treasure you forever and ever. I'm going to pray for you all. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you love us. I thank you that you determined us to be here. You made us. I thank you that when you look at us, you see instant joy. I thank you for your little piece of Holy Spirit that you've gifted us. I pray that it will grow in every single person here, Lord Jesus, that new giftings will be revealed to them. That as we walk out here today, we start spreading your word and stop putting ourselves down, Lord Jesus. I thank you that even when we are a broken, crying mess, Lord Jesus, your spirit within us can lift us up through those hard times. I pray for those people in this room who are still in the dark times, Lord Jesus. I pray that they know that it's okay to still be in that dark time, but that you are with them, because that little piece of Holy Spirit cannot be removed, no matter how much we try. Thank you for putting us on this earth, loving us enough to do that, and to give us so many giftings, just as he determines. Amen. The end.